All right, time for another draft. Physics, yeah. .com video presentation. So we'll do a Nick Lucid Science Asylum video. Always clickbait in the sense he always titles it something like, what's energy? What the heck is energy? What the frig is energy? You know, and he's done a few of these energy videos, and none of them tell you what energy is. So they're all, every single one of them is telling you, it's telling you what energy is, and it doesn't tell you anything. So I'll play some of it, and, you know, it's just kind of redundant. It's the same old crap. They think all the different kinds of energy are somehow different kinds of energy when it all has to be made out of the same thing, some kind of elemental force. And they just ignore that part, and it's just in different configurations. The force is loose, the force is trapped, and the force is processing. Force can be doing different things. It can be in these different states, but the force itself is the energy. Every time something does move, it moves because something changes inside of it and changes in some specific way. It's like pouring dye into something. It's a real change that takes place. It's not a fake change. It's you're adding fish moving in a direction, and that is what's happening. There's a real exchange of state. Yes, an exchange of state. That's probably a better way to put it. And they do the typical things, and they only define work as something we say it's work because we accomplished what we wanted to. So in their definition of work, things like, say you're in a tug of war, and, you know, you're in that state where nothing's happening, nobody's winning, then nobody's doing any work by their definition of work, because they only think work means that you have to do some sort of visible moving. Because you know the rope is actually moving, the particles inside of it. You know that the people are actually, you know, their skin, the friction, the tension, all of that is subtly moving. There's lots of heat being generated, lots of sweat because of the heat. Clearly, lots of work being done.
Influence or interaction amount. So it makes perfect sense that...
Okay, let's find a good volume. It's always this stupid music in the background, which is quite annoying. So obviously, if you're moving, you have a position, you're changing your location, yes. And you do that as at a velocity, okay? And that's the measurement of your energy. And there's the simple truth is that we don't move like one big object just doesn't move. The fact is the pieces of you move first, okay? If somebody shoots you with a bullet, the pieces of you that get hit by the bullet are going to move really, really fast. And then you yourself are going to move really, really slow by comparison, because all of those fast motions are going to be diluted into, you know, slower and slower motions through the rest of the density of all the other atoms. But, you know, we know what's happening on that level. We know there's real energy. There's not, you know, it's not just you move. You don't just move. All right, so, I don't know, force, interaction, that doesn't even mean anything, okay? It's clearly an exchange, and then he has energy, nothing, work, nothing. So I don't even know, what do you measure? Again, all you have to measure is mass and velocity. Everything that's called, anything that's energy or work or momentum or, what are all the other words? I did in the last video. They're all the same thing. There's force, they're all the same thing.
Forces are involved in work. The key here is the displacement. In order for work...
So, more just stupid, silly words, okay? The displacement. You know, the distance you move has nothing to do with how much work you did, because it changes depending on how much friction there is. So I increase gravity, I increase the friction that it takes to do work to move something across a table or something. It all gets much worse because there's much more friction. That means you're actually moving little particles in the table or the floor, whatever you're dragging the object across. It's silly to say that it has something to do with the distance you travel. The amount of work you'll have to do has to do with how many other pieces of matter you're going to have to move. That's the work. The work is your transfer of energy. The work is how much heat did you create? How much, what was the opposing forces? Those are all things you'll have to work against to have motion. But you can't just measure the distance and say that's how much work it was. Because obviously some things can go right past the friction. Some things will be stuck in the friction. The heavier object is obviously going to have a huge disadvantage in a gravitational field moving a distance. It doesn't mean it doesn't have to do more work. I mean, it doesn't mean that both objects, in some sense, okay, the work isn't the distance. The little thing didn't do more work. The big thing is going to do more work. It's going to heat more stuff. It's going to change the universe more.
To be done on that book, it has to move from one place to another. If the object doesn't go anywhere, then no work is done on it.
All right, so what's the point, right? I mean, this is their physics, and this is the way they're going to use language. And everybody knows, well, lots of work got done on it and on you. Okay, you got hot, the car's getting hot, lots of stuff is going on. It's just not turned into motion yet. You haven't broken through a threshold of the friction. Doesn't mean you're not working on it. Okay, doesn't mean, it's just like saying when the glass breaks. You know, I put weights on a plain pane of glass and, oh, I'm not doing anything. Gravity's not doing any work. Gravity's not doing any work on the glass until it breaks. No, it's doing plenty of work on the glass. You're doing plenty of work on the car, all right? If you take away your hands and take an infrared camera, you're going to see your little handprints on here because, yeah, the car got hot, but you're putting a lot of pressure on it.
No matter how much it feels like work to you, a working class hero...
So, all the joke bullshit. Yeah, it's great science.
Hero is something to be. Stuff has to happen for work to be done.
Right, and lots of things were happening. So what's the point of saying it wasn't work when you know it was work? You know you made things happen. You vibrated the car. The atoms are jiggling more. You know stuff is happening. You did a transfer. So why are you talking about it like it didn't happen when it obviously did happen? You know it did happen. The physics say it happens. So why say nothing happened? When obviously something happened.
In fact, that tells us exactly what it is. Work is the amount of stuff that has happened. Or if you're making...
So again, you're not going to count any of the stuff that has happened when all of these things are happening. So as the glass is cracking, that's not an event. So when does it become an event? Again, when does pressure become an event? Pressure in and of itself is an event. It's happening. It's applying it. There has to be a counterforce to sustain it, all of that kind of stuff, but it's still work and energy. There's still lots of transferring going on.
Making predictions, the amount of stuff that will happen. So what's that make happen?
It doesn't even mean anything, the amount of stuff that will happen. Work is the amount of stuff that will happen. Again, what stuff? Right now, I mean, all your atoms are full of energy. I've used this... the simple analogy is that, you know, the fact is, it's not even an analogy, it's an explicit fact. The fact that there's a bunch of energy inside of you, there's a bunch of bits moving, and they're moving in they can't escape, okay? They're trapped in a small area of space by the atoms. That's why the atoms, E equals mc squared. That's why that exists, is because the small spaces can contain a lot of stuff doing work, okay? But it's not doing any big work. It's doing little work. It's heating things.
Energy. Well, let's look back at the definition. If energy is the ability or capacity to do work, and...
Right, and if you're going to define work as something silly, like all the things you're doing when you're doing work, you're not really working... Like to say that, you know, again, gravity right now is working on me. And I'm being pushed into the earth. And I'm doing work on the earth. I'm creating more pressure on the earth. The earth has now got atoms that have more pressure because I'm sitting on it. It's just a fact. There's stuff being moved. It's not work.
Work is the amount of stuff that has or will happen.
So what is that? The amount of stuff that has happened or will happen? An event is not stuff. So in the first place, the stuff is what's doing the happening. The stuff is moving. So yes, the universe is constantly working. It's constantly doing exactly the same amount of work in the sense that there's always the same amount of stuff in the universe. Now, if you want to say, okay, that stuff only interacts, a certain percentage of that stuff is interacting at every second of the universe's existence, and call the interactions work. But the fact is to get from here to there is work. The traveling distance, whether you hit something or don't hit something, is still work.
That energy is the amount of stuff that could potentially happen.
It's just movement. Energy is movement, and big things can move, little tiny things can move. That's the difference. The forces are little tiny things moving the speed of light. We're really big things full of a bunch of traps that have energy in them. The energy hits us, and it can cause our traps to process. That is, they can wobble through space. Okay, they can move in more than one direction. Right now, Mercury's processing. It's wobbling, okay, in its orbit. So it has a motion, an orbit, a velocity, okay, that's angular. So that's even complicated in the sense it's always changing direction. But on top of that motion of just going around the sun, it's got this extra motion where it's actually moving in another direction by processing. So it has a little extra motion in another direction. Another piece of motion. But it's made of something.
There's an upper limit to how much stuff could happen, and that upper limit is measured as energy. Thanks for...
So whatever that is. So even that statement, there's an upper limit. So this will get eventually into the entropy arguments. And I don't know whether I should just go ahead and start drawing. But whatever, we'll play it.
We're liking and sharing this.
Wait a minute. What stuff?
Do you think the crazies are going to be satisfied with you just leaving it like that?
Especially when this video was supposed to be, okay, a video that was supposed to fill in all these gaps that he left in all the previous What is Energy videos. So, but whatever. I mean, these little pantomiming is just, you know.
Okay, I guess you're right. Okay, so there is a lot of stuff that could happen. Lifting, swimming, climbing, dancing, swinging.
Right, and all of this stuff contains components, okay? And all the components are where the real work is being done. Isn't all the little grabbing, the stretching, the pulling, the muscles, all that stuff. And it's just silly to say the only thing that represents anything called work is, oh, he went from point A to point B. We didn't just go from point A to point B. He's lots of different rotations, lots of motion in lots of other directions. Lots of other work was done to get from point A to point B. He didn't go in a straight line, so to speak. Lots of furry lines.
Waving, running, slithering, doing other things. Boiling, electrifying, chemical reactions, nuclear explosions. Let's just say there are a lot of options.
Yeah, and let's just say they're all happening all the time, and they're all work. And so again, the part that they've taken out of the equation that's going to ruin their whole understanding of entropy is the fact that they've taken gravity out of the work equation. They don't think gravity's doing work, when obviously it is doing work. Obviously it's moving stuff all over the frickin' place. And it's creating a ton of heat by doing all that moving. By moving atoms, by pressure, applying pressure to atoms, saying you must go towards the center of the Earth. All right, you're obligating them to become more and more crowded. So you're doing the exact opposite of this entropy argument. You're not liberating it and spreading the energy. You're consolidating the energy with gravity. So if you put gravity back in the universe, all of a sudden the universe doesn't have to get cold anymore. Now, it's still losing photons, theoretically, to dead space, so it's still losing energy, but it's not losing the same amount, or it's not losing it in the same way as they think. It's not losing heat energy, in the sense that it's pumping the heat back into objects through gravity.
Right, so how could all of those things be the same thing? They're all examples of energy being used to do work. If you're lifting a box, you're turning chemical energy.
If you're holding the box, you're doing work. And he didn't say if you're lifting a box 1 meter in 1 second. If you lift the box slower than 1 meter a second, that is, you take longer than 1 second to get to 1 meter, then all of a sudden you're using a lot more energy because the whole time you're pushing against gravity. So this goes back to like even Professor Lewin videos where he's holding his briefcase and say, look, I'm not doing any work. Bullshit, you're not doing any work. You're holding the object up against gravity. You're fighting a constant force pushing in one direction. You have to apply a counter force in the opposite direction to keep the bag in that position. Now, yes, you could create a scaffolding out of your skeleton. That is, you could put a book on top of your head and stand up straight and say, okay, I'm not really working to hold the book up. And part of that's going to be true because you're going to be using your skeleton to do the work in the sense that the work will be done on a real subatomic level. Okay, it's just going to transfer from the top of your head into the ground. But the fact is if you're going to do it that way, holding it with your muscles, okay, then you're going to be working. You're going to be doing a lot of work, generating a lot of heat. And it's not going to be, I just did a joule worth of work. No, you didn't do a joule's worth of work. You did, 100 joules worth of work because you held it, because you took your time to do it. So this is another one of these arguments that sort of reveals that gravity is not about distance. Gravity is about time. How much time are you in the gravity? The longer you hold something in the gravity, the more work you're doing. The less you're holding it in the gravity, the less work you're doing would be the obvious counter argument. So obviously the faster you go, the less work you have to do per mile. So if there was a fuel economy, if you were measuring it by how much fuel you have to use, the faster you can go, the less fuel you'll have to use to go further.
Energy in your body?
I mean, it's really an important thing. I should just pause there and say, no, the faster you go, the less fuel you have to use to fight gravity. Just a fact. You'll gain your mileage. You'll gain huge increases in your miles per gallon quotient the faster you can get your velocity up to. So your fuel doesn't get more energetic as you're going faster. You just need less of it. Because for every percentage increase in your velocity over the whole, over a distance, the more that distance, okay, you were in gravity less time. And the less time you're in the gravity, the less you're collecting energy from the gravity. Gravity is a radiation like sunlight. So you can just understand, the faster I go in front of something exposing a film, the faster I move the film exposed to the light, the less light that hits it, quite obviously. Well, gravity's working exactly the same way, the same inverse square law, the same everything. So it's doing exactly the same thing. The faster you go in it, the less of it affects you. The faster you go by it.
Into gravitational energy. That change does work on the box.
All right, so and obviously it's very specific to time. So if you don't move the box up at exactly the same speed, the box would have fallen down. That is, the amount of time it takes for the box to drop that distance has to be the same exact distance you use to lift it up and the same speed, or you're doing a different amount of work. If you lift it up faster, you did less work. If you lift it up slower, you're doing more work. So it's not an equal relationship.
It upward. You didn't use all the energy inside your body to do that work. Just a little bit.
Oh, duh. Okay. Well, anyway. And the energy is in what form, right? The form of all of this, these mechanisms, these machines, the little machines inside of us, okay? The levers and other kind of machines, okay, that are just going to convert energy trapped into energy released.
All of the energy in your body is all the stuff you could possibly do. The work...
So it's more bullshit, and what you should say is there's energy in your body in the form of kind of flywheels. You know, there's a bunch of energy, lots of little flywheels turning, and you can capture them. You can put another little wheel on them and capture their energy in a direction. And you can release the energy that's trapped in that circular motion, that angular motion of the atoms and the stuff inside of you. And you can convert it into a wheel, and you can put it on the ground and make it go somewhere. But that's what you're doing when you're converting your energy, is you're taking the motion inside your atoms, and you're converting that motion into wheels turning.
Is what you actually do. That box now has energy. It can.
So again, he said what you actually do, and what you actually do when you lift the box slower, then the exact specific speed at which it would fall is you've actually used twice as much energy or 10 times as much energy to put the box in that potential position. And again, the potential position has nothing to do with anything called potential energy. It has to do with the fact that gravity is an active force. Gravity is a kinetic energy. Gravity is right now acting work. It's doing work all the time. It's not some kind of potential force. So you're sticking something in the rain and saying, oh, I'm surprised, or sticking in the river and saying, oh, that's potential energy. It has potential energy now. No, it doesn't. The river has potential energy. And you've put it into the river, okay, that is obviously is active, and it's going to go as soon as you let it go. As soon as you liberate it to be moved by that energy, it's going to be moved by it.
Used to do stuff, like fall down. The gravitational energy is gradually turned into kinetic energy on the way down.
Right, so he says the word kinetic energy. Obviously, it's not kinetic energy, because if you do this experiment with another box right over here on a lever, you'll find out that if I take a half-mass object and I put it twice as far from the fulcrum over here, that I'll get twice as much energy back, which is free energy. So obviously it's not kinetic energy. No, it's just momentum. That's what he should have said. That's what it always should be stated. It'll turn it into weight. As the box falls, it will gain weight. It has, if you stop it from falling, it has a weight. Okay, that's the weight of the gravity's constant rain. Okay, and if you allow it to fall, it means you'll be able to keep collecting gravity and not lose the stuff you already collected. It won't leak out of the bucket. So it's like everything has a very shallow bucket that it can collect things in. And if it falls, the bucket sides get bigger and bigger. That means the level of what you can collect can start to get to grow. Okay, so you have to kind of think of it as if you're free falling in gravity, the sides of the bucket are getting bigger and bigger, and you can hold all of the previous velocities you have, all of the weight, and you can get heavier and heavier. If you're stuck in gravity, the sides collapse, and so there's only that minimum amount of weight that your mass represents in that much force hitting it. Yeah, that's probably a good analogy. Maybe I'll use that in the future.
That's not even all the energy inside that box. Sure, it has gravitational and kinetic energy.
Okay, so again, it doesn't have gravitational energy. Okay, gravity is energy, and you can put it into the stream of gravity. All right, kinetic again, more bullshit language where, oh, that's versus potential. That doesn't mean the kinetic energy formula. Yeah, who knows which context he's using it in. So another huge deception of physics is to use this kinetic word as the opposite to potential energy. When what they're really saying is mv squared. Or are they saying momentum? They don't have to be specific. So it's just a cop-out word.
But it also has thermal energy, because it's not at absolute zero.
And right, thermal energy is kind of essential energy in a way. That's the whole thermodynamics argument. That's when you get into entropy and all of these other arguments, because thermal is such a, I would say in hindsight, right, they didn't know this 200 or 300 years ago, but I mean it's such kind of so obvious that the thermal energy is part, is like one of the major pieces of energy, is the fact that you can't make this energy thing perfect. It's really hard to hit something with energy and not move a bunch of stuff in the wrong direction, and that's the thermal energy. Is the atoms aren't going to do exactly what you want them to do. So all the inefficiencies are seen as the thermal part, all the misdirection. Thermal energy, you could argue, is a very misdirecting kind of energy, because it goes, you know, it spreads in all directions. So it's kind of just pointing out that I'm losing that idea of moving something from point A to point B, because I'm thermally creating energy going in all kinds of directions. That's a waste, but it's real work. And you have to account for it. You have to pay for it. Thermal energy is just, there's a hole in your pocket and your change is leaking out, kind of our argument. It's where you're just losing your energy in these little pieces of misdirection.
List of other energies tied up in the material.
So whatever. So there, it's all one thing. It's just force, and the forces can be in traps. So if you just think of an atom as just being a trap, there's a bunch of energy in it, and it's doing this thing, or it's doing this thing. Okay, and it's trapped in a tiny amount of space. And you can break the trap, and then you've released a whole bunch of vectors of direction.
None of which are getting used to do work. The only work done is the box falling. That's the stuff that's happening.
So all right, so again, more baby talk when you know the atmosphere is moving, lots of other things are getting done, blah, 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 blah.
How do we measure these things anyway? Well, we don't, at least not directly. Unlike position and velocity, energy and work are properties that are hidden from view.
All right, so of course it isn't hidden from view. We know all of that stuff does move at a speed. So we know the radiation, thermal radiation, moves at specific speeds. And clearly when it's in the form of something like infrared, we know that has a very specific speed. So we do know momentums, based on the volume of the, how much of it's moving, how much you've created and how fast it's moving. And so those numbers can always be found if you care to find them. Now, whether you can find exact figures, well, maybe not, but you're going to have enough to know.
We have to calculate their value by measuring something else.
All you have to measure is the mass and the velocity, and now you've calculated the energy. And clearly when you're doing it for the big object, all you're calculating is the difference between all the relative big objects in the environment. So if something's moving in the environment, it's moving, they have a bunch of shared energy, a bunch of shared motion, and then all you're really doing is going to contrast the stuff that's in conflict. So they're just going to exchange their state, essentially. You don't know what their absolute motion in the universe is, but their state's going to change.
If it's gravitational energy,
their state's going to be exchanged.
Energy, we measure a distance from some reference location, usually the ground, and then calculate the energy using some equation.
Right, and this one's junk. Okay, so this won't give you, this won't define energy, because gravity doesn't work this way. So this is just, people have made some fun of some errors I've made in the past, but I mean, here's this video is just glaringly also making the error.
Twice as high means twice the energy.
All right, so twice as high doesn't mean twice the energy. So that's just fallacy. That's just you made a mistake. That isn't how it really works. Because twice as high means when you let it go, it's not going to be going twice as fast. So twice as high doesn't get you twice as fast. You have to, because, this is the part where, yes, gravity, it's about how much time you're in the gravity. And the faster you go, the less time you're in the gravity, right? So that's the catch. So because you're going faster, because you're twice as high, you're actually in the gravity less amount of time, which means you have collected less energy. So you actually have to be four times higher to have twice the energy, twice the momentum. So this is evidence of where the kinetic energy formula just breaks logic, breaks reason, breaks it all into pieces, because this is not accurate. Twice as high won't be twice the momentum. If you want to go twice as fast in gravity, you have to go four times higher. That's the rule to get twice the velocity, because that's when you will, going four times higher means you'll be in the gravity twice as long. So if you go in four times higher, it'll be twice as long in the gravity because of your fast speed. Okay, you have to be in it, you have to move a lot more distance because of your high speed to be exposed to the same amount of gravity, and then to double the amount of gravity, at that speed, you're going to have to travel a much larger distance because you're going fast, really fast by the camera.
Meaning it could do twice as much stuff.
So that's just overtly wrong, okay? Twice the height, this squirrel will not be twice as strong. He won't be able to do twice as much work. None of that will happen. He has to go four times higher to double his strength, his power, his weight. When he lands on the ground, he won't weigh twice as much from twice as high. Okay, to do that, he has to go four times higher to weigh twice as much. To weigh as a falling object twice as much. Again, we're dropping the original squirrel. We're not talking about its weight as it sits on the earth. We're talking about its weight after it fell 1 meter. It has to travel 4 meters to weigh the same as falling 1 meter. In terms of doubling it, that is to weigh twice as much, it has to travel four times the distance. It's just the momentum argument. It's not the same. You haven't doubled your velocity by going twice as high. That's the simple. Don't make that mistake. I've been there and done that. Don't do it. And he just did it. You know, and he's, you know, a science teacher, and he blew it. So it's just like that lever animation, you know, first not getting the four times thing right, and then not even getting the fact that you have to move the object further down the lever, you know, that there has to be a longer distance from the fulcrum to double the velocity.
Kinetic energy, we calculate it with a measured speed.
So just more bullshit. So there's no explanation of this kinetic energy, why 1/2, why v squared, or why that would be logical, because it can't be explained, it can't be defended, unless you want to start talking about solitons and monads and religious theory. A bunch of metaphysics created this moronic formula. It's got his little wife's head in there. Okay, so here he says it. They won't show you this proof. So they just say this stuff. They never prove it, okay? Twice the speed means four times the energy. So they've never shown collecting four times the energy. That is actually heating four times the water, the temperature. Doing any of the actual explicit experiments demonstrating that because the car is going twice as fast, it has four times the energy. Because it doesn't. Just as a squirrel falling four times the distance in gravity doesn't land with four times the weight. It's only twice the weight. That's just, I'm just saying, twice the speed means four times the energy. No, it doesn't. There's no physical experiment demonstrating that ever conducted on Earth. Or four times as much stuff, whatever that means.
Twice the speed means four times the energy, or four times as much stuff. There are equations for finding
all this mush. There are equations that are made up pieces of crap that don't have anything to do with reality, just as their definition of work doesn't have anything to do with reality. Work isn't about distance. You know, it just isn't. Work is about what did you do, what forces did you have to overcome to travel the distance.
All types of energy, and every single one adds to what an object could possibly do. If you can change...
I have no idea what ML is, so doesn't, you know, who knows. All right, if you can change energy from one type to another, the fact is that you can convert with some mechanisms like a lever. You can convert light, fast things into slow, heavy things. And that's where you can see the truth, that there is no 1/2 mv squared, that momentum rules, that all there is how many mass bits are there and how fast are they moving, and everything will be decided by that. So everything you look at, everything you pick apart, everything you dissect, all you're going to say is how many pieces of mass are there, how many electrons and protons, and collectively how fast are they moving, what's their net motion.
Change that energy from one type to another, or move it from one object to another, you're doing work.
So again, the moving it from one object to another is the right way to say it. You're actually transferring the energy. You're taking whatever your bias is, and you're going to give your exchange part of your bias. So you can have a complete exchange, or you can have a partial exchange. And it doesn't, look, relativity is a fact. The fact is we don't know whether the whole planet's moving this way, right at this moment. So any exchange I did between two things I don't know which way the planet Earth is moving at this exact moment, where all of those pieces of matter are. So this one really might be going 40 miles an hour this way, and this one's going 30 miles an hour that way. You know, but all you're going to say is what's the difference between them? And they're just going to exchange those differences.
Something will be happening. Working in a coal mine, going down, down. There are a lot of different places we can find energy, so it helps to split them into categories. We could take the list and organize it based on where we find them.
So this is the part, just stupid again. So he converts it into there's two kinds of energy in the sense that there's some sort of light. All right. Now, that I guess he's saying I'm going to include all the stuff moving the speed of light would be the sensible way to interpret that, in my opinion. Because all of those things are real. Magnetism is real. Gravity is real. All the stuff moving the speed of light is real. And it's all doing work. It's all energy in a state. And then there's the big objects that are being pushed by the force. So they always have to be pushed by it. So the force is really the source of the material energy. So when the electrons and protons are moving, something called a light, something called a smaller force bit, had to do the moving, is doing the moving. That would be the better way to see this. So he's converted energy into light and matter. It's really just saying motion, and you have some of the motion is going the speed of light, little tiny bits going very, very fast, and then you have the matter stuff, which is much bigger bits going a lot slower. And that's it. That categorization is sufficient.
There's something we can do that's a bit more useful. All energies can be described by two generic types. Potential energy, related...
Alright, so this is the part where, again, the huge cheat comes up, where you're talking about energy. Obviously, potential energy, comparing two things, right? Comparing the energy that's trapped in a cul-de-sac, you know, that's trapped moving through, in a square box, so to speak. Are back and forth, trapped between two ping pong paddles or something. Comparing that to something like and saying, oh, that's the same as gravity. Well, it's not the same. I mean, it's a very different because gravity is clearly a very active kinetic energy that you're going to use. You're going to dip something in it. And as soon as you dip it in it, it's doing work. And you have to do work to stop it. And if you're not going to do the work, then the Earth has to do the work. The Earth will feel the pressure. So if I build a scaffolding, the scaffolding is just going to convert the work from me doing it, holding it up, to the Earth doing the work to hold it up. But it's an active force, right? It's really not potential energy. So the only part they're calling it is the fact that you're holding it in a position against the force. And then if you stop holding it against the force, then you can collect. The bucket can start collecting the gravitational energy instead of converting it into pressure on the Earth. You can collect it for a while and then convert it into pressure on the Earth. You can hold it in, you know, from getting to the Earth. And then when it finally does get to the Earth, though, all of it's going to show up. So it was real water. Okay, you stopped it from hitting the Earth for a while. And now... when it does hit, it's going to hit with a much larger impact because you've been collecting it for the whole time it's been falling.
...to location and kinetic energy related to motion. That's all there really is.
So they're both the same thing. All the potential energy is kinetic energy in its elemental form. So even the spinning flywheel or whatever, if we literally had spinning flywheels inside of us, you wouldn't say, oh, that's potential energy, because you'd know that, well, it's actually kinetic energy. I mean, the flywheels are moving, the mass is moving, it's a real event. And all you're doing is saying, where am I going to take advantage of energy that's trapped? So then it would be the smarter word would just say there's trapped energy and there's released energy.
Remember, the purpose of energy is to show us what could happen. And the only way things happen is if they move from one...
So this is just some sort of metaphysics. I don't even know what this means. Where they show things the way they happen or blah, 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 blah. No, energy has to do with motion. Period. Just talk about moving things, because that's all it is about, is moving things.
place to another. Location and motion pretty much cover that.
So right, and that's location, motion, and velocity. How fast did you do it? Because again, that's going to be a big difference in terms of how much energy you're going to need. Again, if you can go faster, you will travel per mile much more efficiently with a lot less opposition from gravity.
You can label all of these as potential and or kinetic energy. Nuclear energy is just the potential energy of protons and neutrons.
So again, it's actually kinetic energy inside of atoms would be the sensible thing to say. It's just more kinetic energy trapped inside of an atom. And if you break the atom to pieces, you'll release some of those little pieces that were trapped, and now they'll be free. And now they can do work to move other atoms. They couldn't move them when they're trapped, but it can move stuff in the universe when it's free.
Chemical energy is just the potential energy in chemical bonds.
So vibrating back and forth is a good idea to show the fact that the energy can be doing a lot of work, but not going anywhere. So this distance argument is nonsense. It's doing a bunch of distance where they're just writing over the same line over and over and over again. So they're not going anywhere. So it doesn't look like work. Now, it's still working constantly. They're kinetically working. All right? They're doing work in their little tiny environment. But they're not doing any moving in the big world. So therefore, you're saying, okay, it's not work, I count. Well, it's still work, and it still counts. And they're doing it constantly. And all you're saying is, instead of them going back and forth and wasting their time going back and forth and going nowhere, I'm going to let them go somewhere. Well, now I'll see it, and now I'll say it's work. But that kind of semantics shouldn't be a elemental physics principle. That's just bad semantics.
Thermal energy is wiggly kinetic.
It's just all kinetic energy, and the fact is, some of it's little tiny things, and some of it's great big things. All right, that's it. Empire State Building are electron inside a hydrogen atom. Yeah, that's it. But it's just about motion. Obviously, the little thing is little energy. The big thing, you know, knocking over the Empire State Building, lots of energy, lots of motion, lots of atoms moving.
Kinetic energy plus some material potential energy. But don't location and motion depend on your point of view? Yep, and that's just more evidence that energy isn't something tangible.
Oh, so it's just so silly. It isn't something tangible. Jesus. When, you know, you're actively touching it all the time. You're actually interacting with it all the time. So he should say, okay, so he's trying to make an argument that some sort of it's abstraction. It's not really an abstraction either. You can just understand that relativity doesn't really mean anything, okay? What absolutely is actually got too much energy and what has too little isn't really that important. It's just that understanding the difference. That if the whole universe is going this way, then obviously everybody throwing 90-mile-an-hour pitches that way are doing something kind of miraculous, and everybody throwing a 90-mile-an-hour fastball that way isn't doing anything very miraculous. But the fact is the environment they're in indicates that it's all the same thing. And you might as well just recognize that it doesn't matter who's actually moving. It just matters that there's difference in the motion from our perspective of understanding what's the force you have to overcome. It's just going to be defined by the difference between you and the stuff you're interacting with. The fact that the bowling ball alley and the bowling ball are both moving through space doesn't mean much. The only part that really matters is that the bowling ball has to knock the little pieces of the bowling alley down. And it has to use its energy. It has to transfer its energy to do that. Now, the fact is the alley might be moving across the ball, okay? But it doesn't make any difference. The transfer is still the same.
Energy is not a thing by itself. It's a property of things. So there's no reason in particular we'd all have to agree on how much is there. If location and motion are relative to the observer, then so are potential and kinetic energy.
Well, obviously it's not relative to the observer. It's relative to the position.
There's always some kind of reference point where you define zero. For kinetic energy, it's...
All right, so I don't know if that's sort of dangerous, I guess. It's not about defining zero. It's defining the point. Well, I guess the subtle point that changes this whole thing is understanding that these two cars that are going to collide into each other, their energy really isn't in the form of arrows. It's in the form of processions, you could argue. So traps, you know, it's the procession, you know, that's the difference between them. So you can argue in some sense that they're procession in space, but it's still not going to be absolute, so it doesn't matter. I mean, you're still not going to know what the absolute circumstance is, so it really doesn't matter.
Usually your own speed. Two observers moving at different speeds aren't going to agree on the motion of a third object, so they're not going to
Whatever. Again, and we already understand why that's going to be, and so why, again, it doesn't really have anything to do with the fundamental argument that regardless of whether the whole universe is moving 9 million miles an hour that way, all of these relative differences are easily observed. So why argue? I suppose it would matter. It does matter in the sense that the absolute will reveal itself somewhere. The fact is that one car possesses more energy than the other car. If one is going zero and the other one's going 290 miles an hour instead of, well, whatever you used, 300 instead of 150, just to use easier numbers, it would be a real circumstance how much energy you have, because there would be some point where you could argue that how much energy you actually have has something to do with how well your matter will stay in, you know, stay together. That you'll actually start breaking atoms when you start moving something an actual speed, like the speed of light. Not a relative speed of light, but they're actually moving closer to the speed of light. So it goes back to the whole relativity and the stupid twin paradox and all that kind of crap. One of them has to be actually moving. Okay, one of them to age slower, one of them has to actually be going faster than the other one. It can't just be perceptual. It has to be actual somewhere for there to be a difference. So it doesn't matter. Well, anyway, so we won't bother with this. I don't know whether it gets into the Nethers thing. No, I don't think so. Well, we'll play the end. What the hell?
Agree on its energy either. That's perfectly fine, because energy is not a tangible thing. It's just a number. And it's similar...
All right, so it's not just a number. Things are actually traveling through the universe. So you could argue that light isn't playing relativity games, because every photon is in an absolute universe moving the speed of light. It doesn't care how fast the source was moving. It doesn't care how fast the thing it's going to hit is moving. None of it's relevant to its speed. So it's traveling distance in the universe at one set speed. All the photons have the same clock.
Thing happens with potential energy. For gravitational energy, the reference is usually the ground. But
so if we could actually compare everything to a light beam, so if we had so much control over light that we could actually compare everything else's motion to a known light beam, then yeah, we could always tell what its absolute motion was by comparing it to the light beam. But nothing we deal with, that stuff is all moving so slow by comparison to the light beam, you can't make the comparison, but you can't keep the two things on the chart. So you can't put them next to each other, say the light did this and you did that, because the light's going to do its thing so much faster than this thing.
There's nothing special about that choice. You could move that reference around, and it's totally fine.
No, that doesn't even make any sense, but whatever, I don't care. I mean, obviously gravity doesn't have a movable reference, because there's a point where you start putting pressure on the material that is making the gravity, the structure of the object. And there's a difference between hitting the structure and being above the structure.
What matters is the difference in energy between two events across time. That's the work done. That's what's actually happening.
No. What's actually happening is still just movement, and all the little bits are moving, and they're all actually moving the speed of light, the forces, and it's only when they're interacting with matter that they move something less than the speed of light, and that's how the universe is really working.
She works hard for the money.
So what the heck is energy? Energy is the amount of stuff that could happen.
All right, so he just keeps saying things like that. The amount of stuff that could happen. I mean, it doesn't mean anything. Energy's the motion in the universe, and that total amount of motion is always the same because things can only exchange their motion. There's only so much this way, there's only so much that way, there's only so much this way, there's only so much that way, that's it. The universe is stuck with those components, and all you can do is make more of it over here going this way, which means somewhere in the universe there's more stuff going that way. Or whatever.
But in the end, all that really matters is what does happen. And that takes work. No. So, got any questions?
What does happen? So again, behind everything that does happen, there's still a lot of stuff happening. So a glacier, lots of stuff still happening, even though it's moving really, really slow. On an atomic scale, it's lots of stuff still happening, lots of work being done. Anyway, it's a lot hotter than it looks. Yeah. All right, that's probably enough of a video. I didn't even have to draw. Maybe I will, just because I can. Yeah, that's a good reason. I will because I can. I have a lump in my hair. Anyway. all right, so entropy is this, you know, you can. There's lots of ways to illustrate. You know, a bunch of atoms are hot here in this little location. They're smashed together. And they're jiggling, they're all moving, and then you connect them to some other group of atoms that are jiggling a lot less, and the jiggle will move from the place where there's lots of it to the place where there's less of it, and these atoms will start to jiggle more and more and more, and the heat will dissipate, you know, into the universe. Is the idea that the universe is losing its heat, okay? But I would counter argue, which isn't really a very, yeah, it's a little better, that's because, and then they're not thinking. So they're talking kind of like this entropy argument, like everything's going to just get colder and colder. Now, I would argue that it's sort of true in the sense that, again, if you think there's an end to the universe or no end, let's say if you think there's no end to the universe, obviously the photons that don't hit anything, okay, that managed to get through all the universe without hitting anything, they're lost forever, right? They're, you know, they're gone. So it's a form of energy that's just disappearing. It's just leaking into an abyss. But then if you say if the universe has enough matter in it where nothing could ever, you know, leave something, well then what's this piece of matter here on the edge of the universe? Its photons still have to be leaving, right? So it still gets kind of complicated. How do you get the energy back in? Now, I would argue that cosmic background radiation is really just the reflection of all those photons of just bouncing off the end of the universe, and they're just bouncing back at a generic frequency, the middle frequency. You know, somewhere not really, really hot, not really, really cold. They're in the middle frequency. Microwaves. So, you know, if a hot thing hits the end, it comes back a microwave. If a cold thing hits the end, it comes back a microwave. Blah, 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 blah. Anyway, you know, let's just talk, okay? I don't have anything to defend that except it makes sense to me. All right, well, anyway, back to the entropy argument. So entropy arguments usually have to do with heat, not light, and all that kind of stuff. But, I mean, the point is that, yeah, okay, it's real that the universe is going to get colder if you don't think there's anything that can bring some of the photons back, or all of the photons. If the photons aren't coming back, the universe dies. Because, yeah, it just keeps radiating a bunch of energy, force. But the part they're not accounting for is that that's exactly what gravity is doing, is taking this outside force, all right, that's spread out. So essentially it's taking, you know, heat on the outside and pumping it into the inside. So it is taking heat that's out here in the universe, and it's consolidating it. So it's doing this opposite thing. It's taking diverse little bits of heat, okay, little tiny specks of heat, little tiny bits of starlight, little bits of stuff, and consolidating matter with it, pushing matter together with it, making it hotter. So that's the opposite of the everything going from hot to cold. Well, you need something in the universe that does the opposite to recharge the battery. Well, what's recharging the battery is gravity. Because gravity is now making things hot. Okay. From a cold universe. It's probably enough. I believe so. Okay. So I think that's enough of a video and such. So till the next time and such and so forth and whatnot. This has been a draftphysics.com video presentation. Blah, 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 blah. Talking to the wind. And windy has stormy. Oh, see, I can sing too. Not a good thing to do now.